We are living the dream and taking you with us. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I am your host, Jeff Paul. Good morning. Bernie Siplicki is on assignment, so filling in for the big fella is my good buddy from the Free Press, Austin Danforth, joins us. Austin, what's happening, buddy?
Not too much. Happy to be here, man. As always, big shoes to fill.
Well, literally big shoes to fill. Those are big shoes. And let me just say this, that new intro. I mean, my God, I thought that was, we're getting ready to watch a Star Wars movie or something with that music.
I
am ready to go.
Man, you got a good producer on this show.
We're ready
for a fourth down stand here.
We are. There's no question about that. Dave Hunter, so well done with the new promo. And obviously, we're excited about our new sponsors, which includes Green City Garage. If you guys haven't checked those guys out yet, you want to give those guys a buzz at 802-651-9299. They're located at 49B Commerce Ave, Unit 5 in South Burlington. And if you mentioned that you heard this ad or you heard us talk about them on our show here at Sports Saturday, they'll take $5 off your next oil change. So give them a buzz at Green City Garage, 651-9299. Tell my buddy Chris that Jeff sent you. What a show we have today. I can't wait to get into it. Listen, anyone that listens to our show knows that Bernie and I talk about some wild stuff. And one of the things that I think is cool is competitive eating. I don't know how you feel about competitive eating.
It is a trip.
It is, right? And as a guy that loves to eat, I mean, and I love to eat, I'm like envious of these people. You know, I know it's not good for you, have stuff to do. Like, I was a big fan of that show, Man vs. Food.
Oh, I love that, too.
It's a great show. Remember Adam Richman would do
TV,
it?
Good TV, yeah.
It is. And the new guy they got going on, you know, it's hard to fill Adam Richman's shoes. I feel that's very difficult to do. So I love it. So anyway, long story short, as one of the owners of Romanto's in Williston, I started this Calmungo. It's a giant calzone. I just love it. It's taken off. We've had it for a few years. And this guy, I get this phone call about 2 years ago from this guy that says, hey, I want you to know Randy Santel is on a tour. He's coming to your restaurant to do the Calmungo. I said, who's Randy Santel? He goes, Google Randy Santel. He's only one of the biggest eaters in the world. Let me just give you his record. He's traveled over 20 countries in 47 states. He has 546 wins in different challenges around the world.
Ooh.
Came to Romanto's, ate the Calmungo in under 13 minutes. This is a 5.5-pound calzone. You haven't seen it. So it's a big deal. Okay. So anyway, met him here. Since then, I think he was around his 300th win when I met him 2 years ago. Now he's over 500 wins. He is an internet sensation, and he's going to join the show live here at 10:20. So we're going to talk food with Randy Santel.
Is it going to fit in the studio?
Well, the good news is he's calling us from Missouri. Okay. So we're going to talk to him live from Missouri. But I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to it. I have a lot of questions for a guy like this. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, the things he eats, and I'm telling you, if you don't know who he is, Google him, go on Facebook and like him.
I'm doing it right now.
And watch some of his videos. It's amazing. And some of this, and the thing about him, and I'll let him talk about this when we interview him, the thing about him is that he has different strategies to eat. Like, he doesn't sit when he eats. He kneels. Okay? Like, it's amazing. He has a real plan, and I don't think he's ever lost. I'm sure he's lost, but I've never seen him lose. I've never heard of him losing, especially lately. So he's really machine. He's going to join the show at 10:20. We know that the Yankees and the Red Sox are battling for the AL East. Last night, a tough loss for the Yankees. Another Joe Girardi problem. I'm just going to say, I think Joe Girardi has a big issue. We're going to talk about that later on, but we're going to talk with David Lennon, New York Newsday. The Yankees probably aren't going to win the AL East. The Red Sox, you got to give them a lot of credit. The Yankees have played great baseball, and the Red Sox have played great baseball with them. But this Yankee team is interesting because when you look at them on paper, you feel like with the bullpen and the starting pitching and the depth they seem to have, if they get any kind of offense, they have a chance to do something. It'll be interesting to see what David Lennon thinks, who's around the team all the time. He thinks this team is World Series caliber.
Yeah, maybe he has a little bit more insight than we do from 250 miles away as to, like, if there's a sense of momentum or just get a break in that locker room and then, you know, the season is theirs to seize.
It is. And, you know, and I think if you're a Yankee fan this morning, and I am, and David is, obviously, you kept holding out hope that the Red Sox would somehow stumble a little bit here. The Yankees have played such good baseball. I mean, it's been crazy how good they've played. But the Red Sox have been right with them, and you have to give Boston a lot of credit. What's their record in extra inning games? Are they 16-17-3 or something?
I missed that stat last night, but they were talking it up. It was right after I came back.
It's crazy, and they're coming back. I mean, you have to give them credit. A couple weeks ago, they were in Baltimore. A week ago, they were in Baltimore, down 6-1, middle of the game. You know, against Bundy, who's arguably the Orioles' best pitcher. They find a way to come back and win that game. They were down 2 runs against one of the best closers in baseball, again, Tampa, a couple weeks ago. They figure out a way to come back and win that game. Last night, they're in Cincinnati. They're down 4-1, middle of the game. They come back and win that game. We talk a lot about the Yankees' resurgence, and you have to, because I think what the Yankees have done is special, and I think the Yankees are not a comfortable playoff game if they have the ability to win that one-game playoff. They're not comfortable for a Cleveland or a Houston who would have to play them in the first round.
Right.
But you look at this Yankee team on paper and you think, wow, you know, they have a shot to do something. And David will be able to give us some insight on what he thinks, at least, going forward.
Yeah, and I mean, you're talking about the Red Sox, who are basically been just like a half a step ahead of the Yankees all season. That, as I absorb their season, you know, just sitting in the Free Press newsroom where it's on it, the game's always on a TV above my computer.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they're down. Oh, they're up. Oh, they're down. Oh, they won.
Yeah.
Like that's literally been the entire season in a nutshell.
And you know, but I think that's the Red Sox MO. And I've said this all year. And sick, by the way, I should give the phone numbers out here, which I do a horrible job at. This is why I have a day job. I do this. 655-672 if you want to join the conversation. 802-655-6672. We're just going over who's coming on the show today. Randy Santel, the professional leader at 1020. Dave Lennon at 1120, talks some Yankee baseball. And then Jake Kent, obviously get your fantasy football questions ready. He's going to join the show at 1140. But since we've started here with baseball, let's go a little bit here. I think as a Yankee fan, and I still say this, the Yankees are playing with house money. Anybody thought the Yankees would be in this position? They are a potential 90-win team, and they probably will hit 90 wins this season before it's all said and done, before they hit the playoffs. I think would be a diehard fan just hoping. I think people in the Yankee front office thought this team was a year or two away. But you got to be really excited about the prospects of this team and the potential of this team. But when you look at the Red Sox are what I think people expected the Red Sox to be. The Red Sox are supposed to win this division. They have the roster that's built to win right now. And I think the Red Sox have also taken some body blows this season. I think they keep being told they're not good enough, they're not good enough, they're not good enough. But they're basically standing up to the Yankees right now. The Yankees have played some of the best baseball of the season, and the Red Sox have been right with them. And you can argue that, well, the Red Sox schedule's been soft, and it has. The last couple weeks it's been soft, but you got to win those games. And a great example for what the Red Sox have been doing, what the Yankees didn't do last night, was the Red Sox take care of business against Toronto. They take care of business against Cincinnati. And the Yankees have a game last night against Toronto, who's down. You've got Masahiro Tanaka on the mound, who is supposed to be an ace. I mean, people are literally talking about who's going to pitch in the wild card game. Is it going to be Severino? Is it going to be Sonny Gray? Is it going to be Tanaka? It shouldn't be Tanaka.
No.
It shouldn't be. Not after last night. And that's the problem, is that's what happens with the Yankees, is that, you know, you feel really good. They win 7, 8, 9 out of 10, whatever it is, and they're playing good baseball, but you got to win last night. You got to win that game last night, especially when you look up on the scoreboard at one point and you see 4-1 Cincinnati.
Right.
You got to win, and instead, you lose. And that's, I think, where the Yankees are at. But to the Yankees' defense a little bit, they are four games back with nine to play, which is going to be difficult anyway. So you kind of have to win every single game. But that's where I say you got to give the Red Sox a lot of credit, because they have won all of those games.
And if you want to, like, just I was looking at the standings the other day in the newsroom.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing, I mean, it's four-game lead for the Red Sox right now.
Yeah.
But you look at the overall stats, like cumulative stats for the season. The Yankees have the second best offense in baseball.
No question. I know.
They've outscored opponents by 55 more runs over the course of the season than the Red Sox.
But do you know what nullifies that? The fact that they've blown 25 games. They have 25 blown, I think it's 23, it's either 23 or 24 blown saves this season.
And there it is.
Think about that for a second. If this Yankee team, a bad season for the Yankee, think about what that means, blowing saves. From an era that grew up with Mariano Rivera,
right,
where they may have blown like two saves a year. This team's blown over 20 games in the eighth and ninth inning. Think about that for 1 second.
Like if they only blew 20.
How about if they had a bad year and blew 10? Think about where they'd be today. That's why
they'd have a four-game lead.
Think about that, right? Isn't that crazy? If you think about it. So that's why you feel like, boy, this Yankee team, if they could get hot and figure it out, they'd be in really good shape. There's a lot of things you can do to contact us too, by the way. It's not just on the phone by giving us a call at 655-6672. You can also join us here on the Town Fair text line. It's the same number, 802-655-6672. Give us a text. Tell us what you're thinking on the Town Fair Tire text line. How big are we, the station, nowadays? We have our own text line. Austin, did you know that?
I just heard that the other day.
Yeah, pretty exciting stuff. So if you don't want to give us a call and talk to us on there, you can just text us and tell you what you think. But anyway, so if you're Yankees, it looks like they're cruising towards the playoffs. The Red Sox are cruising towards the playoffs. Cleveland looks like this immovable force. Houston looks like they're playing better baseball. I think if you're a Yankee fan and you feel like, okay, Yankees, let's see. Let's say the Yankees were to win 2 out of 3 now in Toronto. Boston was to lose 1 in Cincinnati. It's a 3-game lead going into next week. And you think, okay, what happens now? The Yankees go home. The Red Sox go home, but they finish the season with Houston.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about that. Houston is still competing because Houston wants that number one seed. They want to be the number one seed going into the playoffs, so there's going to be some interest there. And you got to believe that A.J. Hinch, the manager of the Houston Astros, is going to look at this and say, if American League East is still in play, he's going to do something. He's going to play his guys. So there's going to be some drive there for Houston to compete, and you know, and we'll see what happens. So that's, I think that's a, as a Yankee fan, you're kind of holding out hope that with 10 games to play, three of those games are going to be with the Houston Astros in Fenway Park, but the Red Sox do play well.
They finish with Houston, so if Red Sox win the East, they'll have to play Houston in the playoffs?
Potentially. Potentially.
So it'd be all these games with Houston, yeah. So like all the trickery would be gone, you know?
Well, they'll know the pitchers. And that's a very interesting point as well, and that's been talked about a little bit as well, is that the Red Sox and Houston have the potential to play like, you know, what, eight games in a row, potentially,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a five game
series.
That
would be how it would work
in.
Out, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that would be very interesting as well. But again, you know, it's just baseball is baseball. You just don't know. As John Sterling says, that's baseball, Susan. Did you know that's what he says?
You know, he says it like this, yes.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, interesting time if you're a baseball fan. Did you hear about this? I got to ask you this question. Did you hear about the mad pooper running around in Colorado Springs? Have you heard this story?
No.
Oh, my God. There is this woman. I'm not trying to gross anybody out. They're having their cornflakes this morning.
No,
there is this woman running around Colorado Springs, and she is doing her business on people's lawns. Okay, and so this, like, not stopping. People are putting signs up. You had to look this thing up.
Is it like an eco thing? Like,
no,
just helping fertilize the world?
You know, it could be. Maybe someone thought that their garden needed a little extra, and if that's the case, you should take a look at mine, but maybe not do that at my house. But anyway, this woman continues to walk, and they have pictures of her, but nobody knows who she is. So Charmin came out, you know, the toilet paper came out and said, if the person turns themselves in, they will give them a life supply of Charmin toilet paper the rest of their life. But is that a good deal? I don't know if that's a good deal. You know, like you get a whole, if someone said to you, hey, I'm going to, you know, you do this, I'm going to give you a lifetime supply of toilet paper. Is that good?
Are there charges to be pressed? Yeah.
Well, I think there might be. I mean, I don't know if it's legal for you to defecate on somebody's property.
But it's like somebody's seen
or
her
pick
doing
it up.
This?
You know, we do with oh yeah. So okay. For example, the story goes that these two kids were outside playing. The woman comes running by and they saw it. So they ran inside and said, Mom, you know, this woman is doing this, and you know, by that time she was gone, but she doesn't even pick it up. I mean, just leaves it and goes, but then continues to come back and continues to do it. I mean, you know, maybe she, and again, maybe she's got an issue, like there could be a medical problem that's causing her to have to do it, and she's a little embarrassed, that's possible. But
my initial reaction was lifetime supply of toilet paper, like,
not bad.
Whatever, you know, 10 or 12 bucks you don't have to spend every couple months.
Exactly. Like, and if you go to Costco, I mean, think about what those things cost. I mean, that's pretty, pretty expensive. And Charmin's some good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff's, you know, it's quality. So I might think about that.
Yeah, you buy it in a big box area.
Yeah, the big plastic package.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, listen. Hey, we only have a couple minutes left. Let's talk real quick about high school sports here locally. I mean, obviously, Austin, you're in the middle of this, being the award-winning Free Press writer you are.
Oh, geez.
You know. So any surprises so far out of you going through the season with anything, with any of the fall sports you're seeing?
I guess, like, we were talking soccer,
yep.
Since you're sort of intimately involved,
yep,
with Vermont girls soccer. I would say right now South Burlington is a big surprise.
Good
for
team.
Me.
Yeah.
Considering they lost probably their three best players from a year ago.
And three of the best players in the state, by the way.
Absolutely.
Three players that you could argue would be in the top 10 in terms of players in the state last
one
year.
One of whom now playing at Marist and
That's
scoring
right.
and doing great things there. Annika Nielsen, our Free Press Girls Athlete of the Year.
That's right.
For them to be now 5-1, or 4-1, 5-1, 4-1.
I don't know. I think they're undefeated.
4-0-1, yes.
We have a tie with us.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Thank you for correcting me.
You're welcome.
They have CVU. They go down to Hinesburg
today. Yep.
I might go catch some of that. They're a big surprise for me. I think in football, BFA St. Albans and Milton, both 4-0. Neither of them made the playoffs last year. BFA hasn't made the Division I expanded playoffs since 2014. And they've just run over people.
And how about Milton, right? Two back-to-back Division I games in a row, right? They beat Colchester last week.
Mount Anthony's a D2 team.
Mount Anthony is D2?
Yeah.
How is the Mount Anthony Patriots Division II in this state?
Look at their record.
I don't care about their record. They're Mount Anthony Union High School. I cannot
Same
believe that they're Division
Spalding.
II. That's amazing to me. It's okay to take your lumps, you know, once in a while. You don't have to win all the time to be able to compete at a Division I level. What are you saying there?
That's
I hate
probably
that.
The most contentious thing in Vermont sports right now. The fluctuation in high school football.
Oh, the things we could talk about, Austin. But before we talk about that, we're talking about a lot of eating with my good buddy Randy Santel. Don't go anywhere. You're not going to want to miss this one.
Favorite show.
And
another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Oh, I love it. Don't stop.
Okay, stop. We got
plenty. Good morning. It's Sports Saturday here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. 802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation, or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at 802-655-6672. Just text us at 655-6672 if you want to get in the conversation with myself and my buddy Austin Danforth, who's filling in for the great Bernie Siplicki, who's on assignment today. You know, quote, hashtag quotes, you know. And by the way,
we've all been there.
And by the way, the big fella is tweeting now, which I think is more fun than anything else, watching Bernie try to tweet things out.
Wait, he is?
So he's tweeting like Colchester Athletics. He's the main tweeter.
Okay.
So, you know, yeah, CHS Athletics, is that at CHS Athletics?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, you should send some tweets to him today because he'll be tweeting all day because there's a boys soccer game today. So he'll be tweeting while he's on assignment. Okay, listen, I have had the opportunity in my life to meet some really cool people. And professional athletes, superstars, you know, like Austin Danforth, you know, brilliant writers, you know, great minds like Dave Hunter. You know, I've met a lot of great people, but there is nobody more interesting that I've met in my whole career than the next guy here on the TikTok Jewelers Guest Hotline. Listen, world champion, professional eater from all over the world, the great Randy Santel joins us live here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN. Randy, good morning, my brother.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Man, it's been a long time since we've talked. Last time I saw you, you were embarrassing my 5-pound Cal Mungo challenge, which people are still talking about you up here in the Northeast here in Vermont. But following your career, Randy, you now have 546 wins in 20 countries in 47 states. Talk a little about this ride that you're taking as you go forward here in your career.
Well, I started back in 2010, and luckily for us, I started filming our challenges as soon as I started, just mostly for fun, and then got serious from there. So every food challenge we have other than one is on our YouTube channel, and if it's not on there already, it will be eventually. But yeah, no, I did that Calzone challenge back in 2015 as part of our tour. Really, since I started, one of my quests was to reach all 50 states, and then eventually I added in, I want to get to at least 30 countries. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and like you said, I've got 546 food challenge wins. It's the most in the world. Second place is in the low 300s, so I've got that. I've got a pretty good margin, and then we're going to be going to Asia and Europe again next summer. But we just got done with a 75-day tour over this past summer of Australia, New Zealand, and Singapore. So luckily, thanks to YouTube and so many people watching our videos, we've got about 350,000 subscribers now. We're able to do a lot and have a lot of fun.
One of the cool things about watching you do this was talking to you before you ate it, and I mean, the things that you do to get yourself prepared, and you have it. This is why I think you're being an athlete doing it. One of the things I watched you do when you ate our calzone was that you don't sit when you eat, you kneel. Talk about why you do that.
Well, like I said, all of our challenges are videoed, and by sitting, you're kind of cutting off or you're restricting a small portion of your stomach, the use of it. You're not able to just put food everywhere, because when you're trying to eat a lot, it's pretty much like Tetris in your body. You're putting all that food down, and you're trying to maximize the space. So by kneeling, I'm able to be in a standing position. If you watch the hot dog contest on 4th of July and any other major eating contest, you'll see that everybody's standing because they're trying to fit as much in as they can. And by kneeling, I'm in that standing position, but I'm still low enough to the food that I'm in a sitting position camera-wise so that you're still able to see everything and maximize the quality of the video.
Now, you are a former football player, correct?
Yes. Yeah, I played at, I'm actually back at Missouri State University, where I first got a construction management degree and played football for 3 years. Yeah, I was an offensive lineman.
Talk about that experience.
Well, just being an athlete, it really kind of hones your competitive nature and kind of got me started as far as I've always worked out for sports and things like that. And as a professional eater, you obviously have to do a lot of working out to make up for all the calories I eat. So I'm actually back at Missouri State to become a dietitian. You can't obviously eat like a professional eater in your 70s. So in 2020, I'm going to be a registered dietitian, and then I will be probably do one last final tour of the United States, and then I'll probably retire and then start helping people better understand nutrition and weight management.
I was going to say, for the record, I'd love for you to be my dietitian based on what you're eating. I'd be all in for that, Randy.
Well, I'll be able to relate to a lot of people because they'll be able to watch our videos and then see, hey, I've done about 650, 700 food challenges, and I'm still maintaining a healthy body and lean physique. So it'll appeal to a lot of people.
Randy, like at all these hundreds of challenges you've done, what are some of the worst ones for you? What made them the worst, like whether it's food or timing or location or whatever?
What makes a food challenge terrible is when the restaurant decides to add a whole bunch of sauce onto their burger or sandwich or something like that. Like when I was in Greece, I had to do a burger that was about 3.5 kilos. It was freaking huge.
Oh.
But it was one of the best beef patties I ever had. But they put like 7 different sauces on it, and all that grease from the burger along with all of the sauces soaked into the bun, which was very big, and it was almost inedible. It was terrible. But most of the food challenges I've had have been pretty good. But yeah, when a restaurant adds all that sauce like that or just doesn't put much effort into it, the food challenge isn't as good.
Has there ever been a food challenge you've walked into and you know that, my God, I don't like eating this stuff, but I have to do it? I mean, has there ever been one that you've walked in and said, I just don't know if I can do this?
Well, sometimes there's been a couple times where the restaurant just added in and it was obvious because you can look at the pictures. I do my homework. One of my mottos is win before you begin. I always try to make sure I'm prepared before I walk into every food challenge. But sometimes the restaurant will just add in an extra pound or two, either as a joke or just hoping I won't win or something like that. But yeah, there's been a few times when the food plate came out and I was like, I can't beat this. Like there was one in Australia that was supposed to be, it was already going to be big, like 7 pounds, but it came out freaking huge. And before I even started, I knew it was over, which sucked because there were like 30, 40 people there to watch and you can't really do anything about it. I mean, you look like kind of a pansy to sit there and complain. You just kind of do it and hope for the best.
Now, Randy, I've been to New Zealand a couple times and I got to go back in February for a friend's wedding. I'm trying to scratch my head here and figure out what sort of eating challenges there would be there. What did you do in New Zealand for competitive eating?
Well, no matter where you are in the world, everything's pretty much Americanized regarding food challenges. Like even in Singapore, I did 4 burgers, and it was the same in New Zealand. The 2 challenges I did were burgers.
Okay.
Randy,
okay.
I got to ask this. So Joey Chestnut is like the face of professional eating right now, I would say, right? He's like the superstar. Do you ever like tweet him and like say like, I'm coming for you, buddy? Like, I mean, did you ever like, is there any trash talking between, you know, food challengers?
Oh, between food challengers and stuff. But yeah, I mean, there's no real point in talking shit to Joey just because I would never be able to back it up. I mean, there's no way I'd ever even consider trying to eat 73 hot dogs.
All right, so going forward here, you said you got a lot happening going forward. So when's the next, are you waiting till you start going on your world tour? Is that the next time you're eating, or are you in a break time right now?
Well, right now I'm in the fall semester of my second year of school, so I'm on kind of a break, mostly to lose some of the weight that I gained during the summer tour. But this winter, during my winter break, basically from December 26th to like January 15th, whatever it is, we're going to do a Southwest USA tour. So for 3 weeks, we'll be driving from pretty much Texas and Oklahoma all the way to Southern California doing food challenges. And then I'll be sure to do one in New Mexico, which is one of my 3 remaining states. And then I'll just have to get to Hawaii and Alaska. But I'll be doing some Friday videos and stuff in between the semester. But yeah, then I'll have the spring semester and then we'll be doing another 75-day tour during my summer break.
Randy, earlier this week when I was getting ready to have you on the show, I was kind of watching your videos and there was one you ate a breakfast pizza. And I thought that the breakfast pizza thing was, this thing was huge, Austin. You have to see this thing. Go on, we'll go over.
I'm looking.
And
right,
I'm gonna have you, Randy. I'm gonna tell everybody how they can follow you. But this, the person that was the number one time, was she like 5 minutes or something?
Yeah, her name is Molly Schuyler, and she's,
how is that
along
even
with Joey and Matt? She's just kind of unbeatable. She's able to, anything that's in her mouth, she's able to swallow. So she doesn't really need to chew anything.
I just couldn't imagine the size. That pizza was humongous, and I couldn't imagine that being eaten in just 5 minutes. That's crazy. All right, Randy, we only have a couple minutes left. Tell us how people can, tell our audience how people can follow you.
Well, first of all, if anybody ever wants any food challenge advice, you just got to go over to foodchallenges.com, and you're able to find any food challenge you want, along with the calzone at Ramonto's.
That's right.
But, everything is Randy Santel. I've got YouTube, obviously, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, all that. Everything's just Randy Santel. As far as I know, there's only one. So if you put in Randy, everything will come to me.
Go ahead, Dave. Ask your question.
Hey, Randy. Dave Hunter, Sports Saturday, 101.3 ESPN. What do you eat like when you go out on a date?
Oh, I try to have as much manners as I can. And, I mean, I'll still get regular meals and stuff, but yeah, I eat at a much slower pace and try to enjoy myself.
That's a good question. I mean, there must be expectation for your dates. Like, you know, this guy is going to take me to, you know, we're going to eat like 35 pounds of wings, or we're going to eat a 200 pound pizza.
Oh, no. No, usually I try to go a little bit without even saying anything like that. once they ask me what I do, I'll usually start with, I work for Google or something like that. I don't really walk up to girls and say, hey, I'm a professional eater, expecting that would ever attract anyone.
Well, it's a big advantage if, you know, you get married, you say, hey, the food bill is going to be really low.
Yeah, there you go. Now, when I'm not doing my food challenges, I eat very light. So,
We appreciate the time, buddy. We're going to follow your career continuing. And guys, listen, I'm telling you, if you want something to do when you're bored in a rainy day, Google Randy Santel, watch some of these videos. Randy, thanks so much for the time, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it.
All right, man. I'm going to tell you this right now. The thing about watching him eat is it's not gross. Like, if you watch some of these hot dog eating contests, it's kind of gross. Like, it just looks bad.
Oh, there is nothing sexy about that.
This is a clean eater right here, man. And I mean, and he eats. And the thing I didn't get into him either was that when he's on tour, it's not like he does this and takes 3 days off. He'll eat, like, for example, he ate the calzone.
Eat it.
This is how crazy it was at Ramonto's. He ate this 5.5 pound calzone I had, the Calmungo. Then he drank 3 switchbacks. Then he got in a car and drove to Bangor, Maine, and ate some 4 pound hamburger that was at some restaurant in Bangor. He ate that. Then he went down to Rhode. I mean, he just kept traveling around the area. I mean, every day it's something humongous like this.
What's the most you've ever eaten?
Oh boy. Well, back in the day, I could put away some. Different times in my life, probably the most I've ever eaten was in Rutland. There's a really good donut place down there called Jones's Donuts. They have the best Boston cream donuts. I probably put away like 4 or 5 of those once.
Ooh.
I know what you're oohing about. It's no problem.
That's a lot of calories.
A quart of milk? That was back in my day. Now I don't do that anymore, but that's what I mean. I'm jealous because I'd love to just sit down there and just pound and put away a whole breakfast pizza.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? The whole thing. Wouldn't it be great?
What a way to start today.
Hello. Good afternoon. And I'm telling you, get on there and find that challenge. And this.
I just looked at it.
It's three. This girl got down to 5 minutes. 5 minutes. This thing is immense. Anyway, check out Randy Santel. All right, we'll take a quick break when we come back. Does the NFL have a problem? Does the NFL have an interest problem? We're going to talk about that when we get back. Good morning. It's Sports Saturday here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I am your host, Jeff Paul. Bernie Siplicki's on assignment today. It's my good friend, Austin Danforth of the Free Press is in-house. Austin, it's good to see you, man. I like the jersey, by the way, too.
Thank you. Thank you.
I love it. The Team USA jersey looking good.
I'm debating whether I wear this. I'm going to the President's Cup next Saturday.
Very cool.
Trying to figure out what I'm going to wear to support Team USA. I don't know if I go with this or...
What's the other option?
I got like a white and blue striped shirt that I could wear a red hat.
I'd go with that.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to wear that.
Okay.
Represent me.
Okay.
I like it. I like that a lot, actually. You know the thing I like about it? You got the collar popped up.
It just, I don't knock it up.
It's just how you are.
I get it.
You're looking smooth, man.
Well, okay.
You're very Martha's Vineyard today. I like that. Hey, if you want to join the conversation, 655-6672 or text us live here on the Town Fair Tire text line at 802-655-6672. So you can call or text, give us a buzz or text us, give us your information, talk a little bit about what you think. Interesting thing this week for me. Now, you know, you're in the news business. We have 24-hour news cycles now. There's always someone talking about something. There's always somebody mad at somebody for this or upset at something for that. But there's been some interesting talk lately about the game of football, and we can talk about the sport of football. And there was an interesting Wall Street Journal article a few weeks ago about decreasing numbers of athletes playing football. But what I want to talk about is the NFL a little bit here.
Okay.
And there's been some interesting things coming out lately about ratings for the NFL going way down. And you know, you never recognize it as a normal fan, I think, because you just, you know, you get up in the morning and on a Sunday and you watch your team and but from a perspective that I'm going to give you, which is completely just a fan. You know, I for years when 1 o'clock on Sunday on a football Sunday came on, I was up. I had my food planned for the whole from 1 o'clock until I went to bed at midnight. You know, yeah. I was going to watch all these games. I have the football package. I'm going to watch all these games. And for the last 5 or 6 years, I've noticed if I don't have a interest, say my football team, which is the Giants, if the Giants are playing, I'm watching. Or if I have interest because of my fantasy football team, I'm watching. But other than that, I'm out. Like, I have no interest in it. Between the new rules and the way these games seem to go, I mean,
what's a catch? What's not a catch?
What is roughing? What isn't roughing? You know, the NFL to me is somewhat like the WWE. It's a WWE wrestling. It's like you almost know, something's going to happen. So an underdog team that goes on the road, you know that something is going to happen. There's going to be some phantom call made that's going to cost somebody a game. You know it's going to happen somewhere. And again, I mean, that's kind of where your interest goes.
Yeah.
I could say the same thing on the college football end of things. You know that there's two or three teams every year that's on the top, and then there's everybody else. And I have been talking for years about that's why I love NCAA basketball so much, because you have 65 teams get into that, or what is it, 67 teams
68.
Now? 68 teams get into it, and they all have a shot to win a national championship. Whether you're a terrible team that got hot in your tournament or not, you have a chance to win a national championship. In college football, if you don't make the playoff, the top four teams, you're out.
Yeah.
Essentially, you're out.
Right.
So the interest level for me in college football, and we can talk about that too later, but for me, NFL, I'm just not interested anymore. I don't have that. I just don't have the drive. I mean, am I the only one?
No. I've felt the same way, and I actually feel that way about a lot of sports. I think part of that's because of what I do for my day job.
Sure.
But yeah, if it's not the Patriots, I'm probably not watching it.
Right.
If I'm busy when the Patriots are on, which I try to keep that to a minimum.
Right.
Like then I might not watch a full game of football or even, you know, parts of a game during the course of a week. I have my fantasy team, but I almost follow that strictly through. Like the ESPN fantasy app.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I mean. Odell Beckham came out last week and said, I don't care if I'm screwing up your fantasy. I'm not thinking about fantasy football. I'm trying, you know, I'm not telling you whether I'm playing or not. And I understand that. But these guys should probably care a little bit more about fantasy football, because if it wasn't for think about if there was no fantasy football.
To me, that seems like a chicken or an egg thing. Like, where would the NFL be without fantasy football?
Seriously.
And why? What about, like, vice versa?
Well, if there was no football, there would be no fantasy football.
Well, I guess it is where it is.
I understand
in
what you're
part
saying.
Because of fantasy.
Totally agree.
Where would it be without it?
I totally agree. But for me, and that's what I mean, is there interest in the NFL anymore? Between, you know, being told about political statements, you know, when I watch an athletic event, honestly, and I mean this with all sincerity, I'm trying to get away from my life. You know, I'm trying to like zone out for a minute. I want to sit down and be entertained. I want to root for my Giants. I want to be able to text Bernie and be like, Eli Manning's a dumpster fire again. Typical, you know, I want to be able to do those things.
Same thing to Alex and Bernie.
Oh, my God. Bernie and I, if you could read the text message between Bernie Siplicki and I during Giants games, it's comical. But, you know, you want to be able to just kind of watch the game and not deal with anything else. But it's like there's so much outside and so much outside noise and all the coverage and everything it's in your face. And then you watch the games and the games aren't great. Like with all the new rules, especially having the preseason, they're not allowed to do a lot in the preseason. So the football is kind of sloppy. If you watch football now, it's kind of the tackling is bad. The fundamentals are bad. I don't know. Is it just me? I don't have any interest. I mean, for the Giants play tomorrow, I'll be interested in that game. And then after that, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be out. And I could even say, especially with the way the Giants are playing right now, it's going to be a beautiful day. Maybe I'm going to be out both ends of that.
You might need to think about what you want to invest your time in.
You know, but there was a time where I was, you know, I didn't care who was on. I couldn't wait to watch them play. Now, when your team's playing, well, you're more interested. But am I the only one out there that feels that way? 655-6672. Does the NFL have a problem? Do they have an interest problem? And has fantasy football really helped the NFL continue to be as powerful as it is?
I'm trying to think this through even more, where they purposefully try to dominate the news cycle year round.
Yep.
There's no month where there's nothing going on.
It's true.
Yeah. The season starts with preseason in July. Then you have August. Season runs September through February.
Yep.
Then you got off season stuff in March. Then you get the draft in May now.
Yep.
So then there's all the pre-draft buildup, and then it's so basically they've built this thing to where they're a 12-month operation. Would they benefit from time off? Like, just hey, what's going on with the – like, just if they oversaturate the news cycle and oversaturate fans, you know, attention spans, how much does that harm them or harm you, you know, in the long run?
Or the other piece here is with all of the information coming out and the science coming out on what playing football is doing to people physically. You know, that's the other thing. I mean, that's the other thing. People are, you know, the numbers aren't there right now. I mean, that's reality in some aspects. And you being a writer for the Free Press, I mean, I can see when I'm watching. I'll give you an example. I won't say the name of the school, but I watch local high school football all the time online. And I look at sidelines and I'm thinking, oh, my God, when I was in high school, there were at least 30 more kids on that sideline.
Yeah.
You know, whether it doesn't matter what team it is. I mean, the sidelines look smaller. There just doesn't seem to be as many players playing. You know, and again, there's reasons for that. I mean, that CTE thing is a scary thing. And the more research you see, it's like, you know, it's a scary situation for some of these athletes. And
see the latest on Aaron Hernandez?
I did see that.
Family?
Yeah, I did see that.
Because of CTE, they're suing the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but again, that's,
saying that he committed suicide.
I mean, that is another. I mean, you look at Junior Seau. I mean, there's a lot of athletes that have, you know, I mean, that is another issue that the NFL has to deal with in terms of that. So maybe it would benefit the NFL to take a break, Austin, because you're so into watching. And we talked about saying, go, what's a catch? What's a catch? What's roughing a passer? What's a play?
And that all makes it feel very contrived.
Exactly.
Like when you're watching a game and you think these are the stakes, or even like who gets suspended and for how long.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
It all seems like the NFL is just playing. Like, you almost don't know, like, are they making the calls because of this? Are they not making calls? Or what's like. It sort of creeps into NBA territory where we're just not making calls because this is him and that's how it goes.
Yeah, and that's a problem. And I will say that I could challenge anyone to say you've never watched a football game and said, oh, what are they calling there? Or why wasn't that called? Or what this was called? This quarterback gets this call all the time, and this quarterback doesn't get this call all the time. Cam Newton's a great example of that.
Yeah,
if there is a quarterback out there that gets beat up more than Cam Newton, I mean, I'll use Tom Brady's example. If Tom Brady got hit the way Cam Newton got hit, Tom Brady. The Patriots would have to move the ball. They would just go
down the
field.
Opposite ends of the spectrum.
Totally.
Like Tom Brady, you look at him wrong, you're probably going to get penalized.
Exactly.
Cam Newton, you can come close to decapitation and you're staying on the field.
And two different, Cam Newton's kind of more of a running style quarterback, but the hits that he takes, I mean, the punishment that he takes is actually pretty amazing in terms of not getting the calls. I guess my whole point was that I really have lost interest. I'm just a fan. I have nothing to do with anything. I mean, I know that I do this show once a week with Bernie, but I'm not in the middle of the media. I'm not reading. I'm not doing it because I'm frustrated with anything. But I just think the product is gotten boring to me. If it's not my team, I'm bored with it. I mean, I tried to watch some of the. I forgot about the game on Thursday.
Yeah.
Completely forgot about it. For the exception, and the only reason I was like, "Oh God, I got Todd Gurley on my fantasy team. That's why I'm interested."
Those Thursday games have been so bad. We've trained ourselves to think that Thursday's not worth watching.
But think about that for a moment. With that comment you just made right there, it's the NFL. 5 years ago, just put 5 years, but 3 years ago, put five that there was a football game on Thursday. You were in. You couldn't wait to get home to watch it. I'm just saying, like, as the years have gone on. The product is like diminished. All of those because the football is diminished. It's not. It's not fun to watch. It's not fun to watch people run around and miss tackles. It's not fun to watch quarterbacks miss open people. It's not fun to watch. You know, it just isn't fun to watch. I mean, it used to be you'd watch these athletes, and it's like they're unbelievable athletes. Watching them go up and down the field, and now it's like, what are you doing?
Brian from Fairfax.
Brian from Fairfax on the line. Brian, am I right or am I wrong here, pal?
Hey, I just wanted to comment on the interest of. Football and stuff. You guys have some loaded questions here. This is getting pretty deep, but 5, 6, 10 years ago, we didn't have the electronics and the technology that we have now. So when we sat down to watch, you know, when a game was on, you had to wait for that. Remember that old 10-minute ticker that come across the screen?
Sure.
So you were interested in your fantasy team just as much, but the only way you could get it was to watch TV and then sit around and wait for, like, NFL primetime on ESPN with what's his name, Berman, would come on and tell us everything about it. So maybe what I'm saying is technology and the way that we can watch games, whether it's, like you said, we're following your fantasy team through the app, maybe that's kind of pulled our interest away from it.
And that's a great point, but my question for you is, but don't you find that, I mean, I'm just saying from my perspective, if it wasn't for fantasy football, I don't know if I'd be wrapped. I just don't think the product is any good anymore. I don't think the product's that good. I'm not interested. Watching it doesn't make me say, I mean, I can't miss this anymore. It has nothing to do with,
right.
It has nothing to do with the technology piece for me personally as a fan. you know, we still had 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. You still had a couple games on a day and you were able to watch those games. You could go to some place that had the ability to watch all the football games. For me, if I don't have any vested interest in, say, fantasy or my team playing, the product has gotten so watered down, and to me, it's not as good that I'm not that interested in making sure I'm there to watch it anymore.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that because I kind of stopped playing fantasy football.
Yeah,
and I don't watch nearly as much games. I would have tuned in on Thursday if I had Todd Gurley on my team, and I would have watched some of it. But it does drive me nuts when people can't tackle anymore. And like you said, the product, the game itself is not as good.
Hey, man, we appreciate the call. We appreciate the call, my brother. Have a great weekend.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, and again, that's a great point.
Yeah, that gets what we were talking about before. The way that, you know, digital devices, multiple screens, just cuts into your attention span. And by the time you've seen it somewhere, like what he's talking about with the ticker,
sure,
giving you the information when it felt like it, you were on the hook. Like if you needed that info, you were on the hook. That was how you got it. That's why, like, they do. News shows do it with ratings. They tease, and get you to what you want to see.
Well, but that's the biggest problem because my point being is that the interest in sitting there and watching the game isn't there. And it's not because we have all this technology and we just see the score. There was a point in time where you wanted to see X, Y, and Z player compete and play.
Yeah.
And it's gotten to a point now where the product just isn't as good. It's not it's not as refined as it used to be. And that to me is a problem as a fan, me wanting
sounds
to watch.
Sounds like
the
we
game.
Got multiple problems.
Sounds like we have big problems. Maybe you and I should be the commissioner. We could fix this in 2 minutes.
I'd do it for half the price.
No question. Oh, I'm with you. I'll tell you what, you do it for half the price, I'll do it for a quarter of that, and we'll have a little
okay.
bit more. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, I just want you to say, I pick on the fanny pack a lot, but I got a great article to read you guys because the fanny pack is back. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki.
Call me daddy.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Austin, I got to tell you, this article that I heard this week, I got to read it to you.
Bring it.
Okay. So, first of all, I got a good buddy that still carries the fanny pack around a lot, my buddy. I won't bring his name up. Oh, I'll bring it. His name's Kevin. Whenever he goes to games, he's a big-time autograph guy, so he always carries the fanny pack. He's got balls, you know, all different balls he's going to have signed in it. So I come across this week. The Dad Bod Beer Belly Fanny Pack. A London-based designer named Albert, and excuse me, I don't know, Pookies, I think is his name, created these paunch pouches, I guess, designed to look like a fat, hairy man's stomach. My inspiration was seeing all the posts about dad bods being cool, he told the Huffington Post. I think people want them because of that reason. You can have a dad bod without health issues. He also said they're perfect for storing typical dad items like beer, a sandwich, wallet, sunglasses, medicine, keys. Unfortunately, they're not yet available for purchase, but he's considering starting a Kickstarter to the launch of the belly bags into being. If he does, they'll go for about $30 a pop. The quick accessory has drawn a lot of attention on social media. One person said, I'm still scratching my head over this. Who plans on giving this as a gift? Look, kids, a dad bod is not something you can go out and buy, one person said. It's something you can earn. And, you know, anyway, the whole point is that you should see the picture. It literally looks like a hairy stomach.
Oh, I actually think I saw that a couple days ago, yeah.
You know, and I got to say, if they go on sale, I'm going to want one. I mean, I have one. I already have a dad bod. I mean, I got that already. I got that going for me. But it's like, can you imagine? I mean, this guy will probably end up making $6 zillion making a little fanny pack that looks like a fat stomach. Think about that for a minute. I mean, it's a great country.
I think that's a great reward for creativity.
I totally agree. And an easy creativity. That's what I'm saying. Like, why can't I have an idea like that?
You can.
What is it?
Just ask me.
No, I can. Yeah, that's. Yeah, the problem with you is it'd be a lot more disgusting than that.
Do a fanny pack and.
No, please.
Wear it on your backside and have it be a butt crack.
Look at Dave. See? He's on fire over here.
Make it reversible.
That's what it could be. That you could have two. Yeah. That's what he should do. You have one on the front, one on the back. You have a back. Yeah, that's a good idea.
All you'd have to do is learn plumbing.
You could actually carry your plumbing materials in the pack.
There you are.
So there you go for all plumbers out there. What a great thing that would be for your... Okay, so all my buddies that are plumbers, people that are listening right now, that's what you want to do. Get a fanny pack that looks like a butt crack. And that can be, you know, you give that away, you know, you give those things away, you sell those with your logo on, you can put your tools in there. Yeah, we're here for you.
We will mark this and put it on the website. So if anybody does,
yeah, we do want a little
that,
piece.
We're gonna go after.
Just give
them
us a little piece of the idea. That's all we're asking. We don't want to go crazy. Just
right.
A little piece.
Just a little.
Just
piece.
Want a piece. A little love. All right, Dave, your turn. SportsCenter time.
If it happens. has to do with sports, we're talking about it. WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh. The Sports Station, 101.3 ESPN. Jeff Paul.
Your team sucks.
You want to try that again?
No, maybe got the point.
Maybe later.
Yeah, I'll try that again later. That was very Dave Hunter of me.
Bernie Siplicki. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Good morning. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Jeff Paul, Austin Danforth filling in for Bernie, who's on assignment, sabbatical or something. Bernie likes me to say that stuff. He's really just doing his day job, which he does very well at Colchester High School, getting it done over there today. There's some athletic events over there today, and Bernie's hanging out over there watching his Lakers get it done. How about this weather, by the way? I mean, am I all in with this weather or am I all in with this weather?
I'm confused. I walked outside. I'm like, what month is it?
It is awesome.
Presently, 68 degrees.
I mean, and it's going to be high 80s today. I think it's going to be close to 90 on Sunday and Monday. I mean, I'm telling you, I know people are like, it's so hot. I can't take this heat. I want to wear my sweatshirts and my turtlenecks. I don't care. I want to wear my shorts and my t-shirts and my tank tops. I want to be able to go on the lake. I want to be able to hang out. This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm loving this weather.
It's been the best month of the year.
Think about the last 3 weeks. I keep looking at the long-range forecast, think, okay, next week it's going to change. It never changes. All of a sudden, we're in San Diego, Vermont up here. This is awesome. All right, this is the time of the show every week where we do our football picks. Bernie is out, so Austin, you got big shoes to fill today, buddy.
Okay.
Can't even talk. I'm so excited about this. All right, let's start quickly here. Baltimore is at Jacksonville. We know what Baltimore brings to the table. Historically, they've been a really good football team. Jacksonville, our boy Tom Coughlin running the show over there now. They look like they're starting to turn a corner. Who do you got this week?
It's neutral territory. I'll take Jacksonville.
I'm with you, too. Give me the Jacksonville Jaguars. Early morning football. How about that? You can wake up tomorrow morning and have a little cup of coffee in the NFL first thing in the morning. Nothing beats that. Pittsburgh at Chicago. Chicago's down. First week of the season, I think Chicago Bear fans were kind of excited. They pushed Atlanta to the end of the game. They got brought back to life last week against Tampa Bay. Pittsburgh's a great team, but they do struggle a little bit on the road. Who do you got this week?
Pittsburgh.
I'm with you. I think the Steelers are going to open one up this week against Chicago. Denver, all of a sudden, 2-0 Denver blast Dallas last week. Let me say it again. Blasted Dallas last week. Head across the country to take on the Buffalo Bills because, you know, no one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Who do you got this week?
Denver.
Yeah, easy peasy, buddy. I'm with you. The Denver Broncos roll. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Is there a tough one coming up yet?
I know. I'm trying for you. Okay, here we go. Here's one for you. This will be a tough one for you, I'm sure. The Houston Texans travel across, actually probably a little bit more north and east, I guess, to take on the New England Patriots. The Patriots, who had all kinds of question marks after week one, kind of brought the game with them to New Orleans. Injury problems are troubling the Patriots, but this week I think they're going to be in good shape. Who do you got?
Come on.
Would it really matter? If the Patriots were playing the 85 Bears, you'd pick the Patriots. So it doesn't really matter.
Absolutely.
I think that's how it goes. Yeah. I'm going to take the Patriots as well. The Miami Dolphins are traveling to take on the Jets. Oh, boy, the Jets. Of course, what am I? I'm the Giants fan. They're not any better than the Jets. But anyway, Miami travels to the Jets. Who do you got?
I picked up Miami defense just because they were playing the Jets.
That's a brilliant idea. Another good move out of you. I got the Dolphins as well. Atlanta, the team that was in the Super Bowl last year, looks like they're getting their feet. They're getting their sea feet better. I think, what the hell am I talking about? Atlanta looks a lot better lately to me. They're playing a Detroit team that's undefeated and a team that's got a solid defense and one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Detroit.
You like Detroit this week?
Yeah, I have two players for Atlanta starting for me. So
that's a bold spill. See what I'm talking about? See where we're going with this?
Yeah,
it always comes back to fantasy football. I'm going to take Detroit as well. I think they're a good football team. All right, the Giants. Oh God, please help me. Have to go to Philadelphia this week. Can I just pass over this game? Do I have to even talk about this game? Anyway. That's exactly how I felt for 2 weeks. Anyway, the Giants are heading their way into Philadelphia. I like this Philadelphia team. They got a solid defense. The quarterback's exciting. You know, I don't know where they're at in terms of being really competitive yet or playoff material, but they're definitely a team on the rise and a team playing pretty good.
And you can't say the same thing about New York,
okay.
So I'm
just
taking Philly.
You don't have to throw Philly. That in there. Okay, you're Philly. Taking Philly. All right, I'm going to take the Giants because I'm a homer, and it's got to change eventually, right? I can't pick against my team.
You're going
better,
Todd.
I'm telling you, I'm horrible at this. I'm telling you, I can't do it. New Orleans taking on Carolina. New Orleans looks like they have some problems. But Carolina, for a team that's got all these weapons, can't score touchdowns.
Yeah, that's weird.
What do you think?
I go New Orleans.
I'm going to say Carolina opens one up this week. I think it happens. Tampa Bay going to Minnesota. Minnesota had a great opening night win, went to Pittsburgh, and it was competitive for a while, didn't get the job done. Tampa Bay is the team on the rise you got to watch out for.
I'll go Minnesota at home.
I'm going to say Tampa Bay goes on the road and wins that football game. Cleveland at Indianapolis, this was a big game maybe a long time ago.
Cleveland's favored.
That's
on
crazy.
The road.
But Cleveland's up and coming too, so what do you think?
Indy.
I'm thinking Indy as well. I'm with you. If it was at Cleveland, though, I think I'd go another direction. Yeah. Seattle at Tennessee. Listen, Tennessee is a great football team, and Seattle cannot put anything in the
end
zone.
When did Tennessee become great? I'm surprised.
There's the problem with the NFL. You don't know and talk about anybody else but four or five teams. Nobody cares anymore. Tennessee's a good football team. Who do you think?
Tennessee.
I got them too. Seattle's so overrated. Cincinnati going to Green Bay. When did Cincinnati become one of the worst teams?
Whenever Andy Dalton stopped completing passes.
I guess that's a good point. Who do you got this week?
Green Bay.
I'm with you. I got the Packers as well. Kansas City goes into New England, just absolutely thumps the Patriots. Then they come home and play a Philadelphia team that, you know, and really had a fight and scrap with them. They're heading on the road to go all the way across the country to play the L.A. L.A. Clippers.
The L.A. Chargers.
The Chargers, the Bolts from Los Angeles. Who do you think?
Chiefs.
I think you got to take the Chiefs now, right? I think, but I wouldn't be surprised.
That Hunt kid is so good.
He's unbelievable, too. And I love, he's a little guy.
Yeah.
I love little guys that play well, yeah. Anyway, I'm with you, but I think the Chargers are going to push them a little bit. The Oakland Raiders come across the country to take on the Washington Redskins. What do you got this week?
Oakland.
I am with you there, too. But again, I think the Raiders are a good team, man. How about Marshawn Lynch getting it done on the sidelines, doing his boogie down on the side?
I've always liked him.
Yeah, interesting guy. Now, there's a guy that created a brand for himself, right?
Yeah.
He created this stigma of himself. It's pretty crazy. That's why this country's so great. Dallas at Arizona. The Cowboys, who, you know, did a pretty good job against the Giants. And then go on the road to pick on Denver, and Denver just really squashed him. And now there's questions. Ezekiel Elliott quitting on them? So all of a sudden the Dallas Cowboys have a little bit of turnover, have a little bit of turmoil, have to go over and play Arizona. Arizona, a team that I think had some expectation. I know that myself and Bernie felt that this team in Arizona was the team that's going to take a step forward this year. They haven't quite done that yet.
David Johnson got hurt.
Yeah, it's a big injury for them. What do you think this week,
I'll
Dallas?
I'll go Redbirds.
I'm going to say the same thing. I think it's going to be an upset brewing. I think it's tough for Dallas to go over there and win. All right. Those are your picks.
Is that it?
That's it.
I'm protesting.
Why are you protesting?
I am protesting foul.
What's the problem with you?
We got a big problem.
What is it?
What? What about next Thursday night's game?
Why are we talking about next Thursday? Oh.
See, you. I had a Rams game, and you didn't give me a pick.
I picked the Rams to beat the 49ers.
What's the score?
I think I'll pick it to be 41-39. Something like that. I'm going to pick Todd Gurley to have 3 touchdowns. He should have had 4, but, you know, whatever.
So we got to go on to next Thursday night.
Yeah, all right, let's find that. Hold on a minute.
Okay, Chicago at Green Bay.
See what I'm here for?
Please put the music back on. Okay, we're not done yet. Next Thursday night, Chicago is at Green Bay. A Chicago team that's probably going to be sitting at 0-3, getting ready to take on a Green Bay team that looks like they're going to be in a better situation. What do you think?
Green Bay.
Yeah, okay, we'll take Green Bay, too. What kind of producer are you anyway? So if you were really concerned about us missing a Thursday game, how about maybe throwing that at us before? Maybe you should throw the Thursday game in there too. But so many things can happen before this happens. I mean, things might change for Green Bay going after this game. So how am I supposed to pick a game?
You're supposed to do all the games until we come back on Saturday.
But what I'm telling you is, how am I supposed to pick a game after these games haven't even been played yet? Maybe there's going to be some injuries. Maybe some things are going to happen.
Well, maybe people are going to get hurt on the way to the stadium on Sunday.
That's a good point as well.
Okay, so this way.
So anyway, those were our points. Those were our picks. Take with them as you want.
Yeah, right.
Interesting week, though, in the NFL. I think if you look at some of these games, and let's start, you know, since, you know, we'll start with the Patriots. The Patriots, a football team that I think offensively at least look like they made some steps go in the right direction. I mean, Tom Brady is so good. I mean, and he really is so good. And you look at the weapons that he has right now on offense and you say,
Tom Brady.
Yeah, but think about it. I mean, you know, you lose your best in Amendola.
Edelman.
And Edelman. Amendola's out. He's probably your second best, besides Gronkowski.
Yeah.
You know, Hogan looks like he's kind of banged up, but he's still kind of running out there. Brandon Cooks is still trying to find his way. You can still kind of see that. I mean, Brandon Cooks is one of those you get over the top kind of guys, but, you know, he's not that carry you kind of guy, you know?
No, he's your home run hitter.
Exactly. And the other thing about the Patriots for me, for the exception of Gronkowski, is they're all small guys. They're all small receivers.
Yeah.
None of them are the big receivers, but the Patriots, they just keep on rolling along here.
We've only had, trying to think, like, I say we, sorry, I'll stop.
No, you can say it. Patriot fans are all, it's all about, I mean, but I have to give, what's your stance on that, by the way? Can you say we when you're talking about your team? I feel like you can, because I'm going to tell you something. I'm all in.
I feel like I can't.
It's part of your life, right?
I feel like I can't because of what I do. Though.
But for you, but you know what's interesting about what you say, and I think for most fans, big time fans, like, you work your schedule around these games. So when you work your schedule around these said games,
it's a part of your
you're
life.
On the team.
Yeah,
they're us. They're we. Like, I'm in here fighting for you every day. Like, when I go to work and someone's telling me how bad my team is, I'm standing up for you. I'm the one taking the beat down on Facebook when I'm out there saying good things about my football team. And they look terrible. Like I am. Like, that's why I'm mad at the Giants.
Yeah.
They're making me look like an idiot. They're playing terrible. Not that I'm not an idiot already, but I'm just telling you. They're playing, they're embarrassing me. And we'll get to the Giants in a minute. But if you're a Patriot fan, it's got to be so great to be a Patriot fan.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I was a Patriot fan. I really do.
Aside from all of the baggage.
What like, baggage? There's no baggage being a Patriot
cheating.
Fan. Yeah, well, it's none of that. All of that is
deflate
noise.
Gate,
all of that
gate.
Is noise. They coined the phrase, you ain't us, so you hate us.
I almost
you hate
wore
us,
my
so
New England against the world.
That kind of thing.
Today.
I mean, there is no baggage. Stop saying there's baggage.
No,
being
there's
a Patriot
baggage.
Fan. How's the baggage?
There's baggage because of all like
oh,
the little
oh,
scandals.
Yeah,
big deal.
There's baggage. And we talked about how like politics creeps into sports. There's baggage there now with like the degree to which the Patriots key people are friends with our current president. There's baggage with all of, you know, just obnoxious Patriot fans, like some of the shenanigans that Patriots fans pull.
Oh, come on.
Go, Austin. Go. Digging in.
I just don't think that's baggage. First of all, I don't think it's baggage that Patriot fan. I mean, all fans do shenanigans. There's things that all fans
but
do.
But because we win all the time.
But that's not, oh yeah, exactly. So that's baggage. Yeah. Winning all the time is baggage.
We win all the time.
So hold on a minute. This is the baggage, Patriot fans. Some Patriots players are friends with the President of the United States, so that's baggage. Who cares? That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't matter if he's a friend with the President of the United States or if he's a friend of the President from Russia. It means nothing. All you care about is that they win the football game. That's all you care about. That's all anybody cares about is whether you win or not. So there is
Russia.
No baggage.
Maybe I hang out with
Patriot
too many people that don't follow sports enough to have
God.
It be that simple.
For me, it's like I just want my team to win. All I care about is to win. That's what I'm saying. Like when I turn on my favorite team, all I care about is being entertained. Like, that's all I want.
I've watched Tom Brady since he was in college at Michigan because I'm a huge Michigan fan. I have no desire to meet that man in real life ever. I just like watching him play on the football.
Really?
Yeah.
If you could meet one person, who would it be?
His wife.
That's not the wrong answer.
If you could meet one, like for me, I can tell you that I would love to meet Michael Jordan. I would absolutely love, or Derek Jeter. I would love to meet those two people. I think I would be like in awe of that.
I'm so torn on that. I've sort of stopped idolizing
yeah,
athletes.
Yeah, I guess that's a good question. Maybe for me, I have a little bit too, but I think growing up, Michael Jordan and for me, Derek, because Derek Jeter and I are the same age, so we kind of grew up together, I guess we would say. Not physically, but we grew up watching him.
Yeah.
He's always been like my favorite. But I think meeting him would be absolutely amazing for me. At least just to be like, wow. You know what I mean?
Your wife met him before, huh?
Yeah, that's another story for another time.
I'm racking my brain. I can't think of somebody I'd like to actually meet. Is that weird?
Well, I mean, besides me, well... No, it's not weird, but there's no athlete you would be like, wow, it'd be neat to meet this person, have dinner with this person, be able to spend some time with this person.
I guess I'd say John Daly.
John Daly, yeah.
Just because I want stories.
That would be crazy.
Just let him spin yarns.
You see, you and I could have a conversation because when I was growing up, I was my father had a company that was with the PGA Tour,
right.
And I spent a lot of time with some of these guys, like Freddie Couples, Tom Kite, Brad Faxon,
yeah.
Steve Elkington, Payne Stewart. About a month or two before he passed away in that terrible plane crash,
right.
Was pushing my mother, and my mother just had knee surgery, was pushing my mother at the MCI Heritage Classic in Hilton Head. I think I was like 12 or 13 years old, around the tournament as we were watching a friend of ours who was Brad Faxon. We were watching
wow.
Payne Stewart's, I mean, crazy stuff. I mean, Fred Couples teaching me how to do J-turns with a $100,000 Cadillac that the Masters gave him. I mean, just crazy story. These guys are out of control. But I never met John Daly. I never got a chance to meet John Daly per se, but he would be a guy you'd want to hang out with.
He's fascinating.
He definitely is. Well, he's just a typical guy. Well, he's just the guy.
He's either a prodigal drinker or a prodigal golfer.
Exactly.
And I don't know which one he's better at.
Now, are you old enough to remember when he first came on the scene?
Not when he won the PGA. I was like 6 years old when he won the PGA. But I do remember watching him and his mullet go over the Swilkin Bridge in St. Andrews winning the British Open.
I remember the hottest thing when he won the PGA, and I was probably like 12 at the time, or maybe 11, was his swing. Was his backswing was so... if you ever watched John Daly take a swing, it was like he'd bring it all the way. It was like Julio Franco playing golf.
Yeah.
Is basically what it was. If you remember Julio Franco's baseball stance, it was a lot like that. But yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, it'd be neat to be able to spend some time with some of these guys just to see what it's like in a day of their life.
If you ever do meet John Daly and you decide to go out, stop by the bar. He sucks. 194 Main Street across from Dvorak Square in Burlington. I would love that.
You know, Dave.
Yeah.
I'm going to start sending bills to Esox because of you.
Well.
Bills. Real
top
bills.
Of the hour, I said it's not brought to you by, so that's really not an ad.
That's a good point.
You know, for Esox at 194 Main Street across from Dvorak Square in Burlington.
Oh, Dave, you're unbelievable. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some Yankees baseball. The Yankees are 4 games out in the American League East. They're still technically alive, but they are way up in the wild card. David Lennon's going to join us from New York News and see if he thinks this team can win a World Series. My fingers are crossed. We'll be right back. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Jeff Paul, your host. Austin Danforth in for Bernie today. Austin, good afternoon. Good morning. We're still in the morning.
It's still morning.
What's the temperature out there, Dave? We're getting close to 70 now?
Well, let's see here.
70 on the nose.
According to my thermometer stick, it's 69.
69? No, it's 70 degrees out there. It's going to be awesome.
69 says so right there. Oh, it is 70.
70 degrees? It's awesome. I'm telling you right now, I'm loving this. It's called Indian summer or something where you get the really hot weather. I just think it's unbelievable. But I can't believe it's going to be 90 degrees. And the record, this is a record, I think, today because the old record was like in 1857. I heard this on the news last night.
No way.
Yeah, it was. I think the record was in 1857. It was like 90 or 84, 85 on the Saturday. I think today it's going to be 87, and that's going to break the record.
That was back when Vermont had more sheep than people.
That's right.
Dave,
what was that like? That was not your senior year in high school?
Did they have climate change back then?
Let's not do that, David. All right, but postseason baseball is right around the corner. Okay, obviously it's very exciting, especially locally here, especially for Yankee and Red Sox fans. We talked earlier about you got to give the Red Sox some credit here. I mean, I don't think they get enough credit nationally right now because people keep talking about the Yankees keep winning and it's forcing the Red Sox to have to keep winning. But the Red Sox continuing to win forces the Yankees to have to keep winning, and the Red Sox are the ones that are in first place. This Yankees team is interesting, and you mentioned earlier they're number two in the league in offense. If you look at their ERA for the last month and a half, it's incredibly low. The biggest problem the Yankees have had this whole season is that this bullpen that is so respected in baseball. It really is. When people talk about the Yankees, what's the first strength they tell you? It's the bullpen.
Yeah.
Which, for someone like me that watches them a lot, is a little bit shocking for me because, you know, they've blown so many games. They've blown over 20 games they've blown this year in the eighth and ninth inning, which is like unheard of if you're a Yankee fan. Okay, so anyway, so we're just waiting for now. So we'll talk about this right now because our next guest here on the TikTok Jewelers guest line is New York Newsday's David Lennon. He joins the show. He covers for the Yankees for New York Newsday. Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing really good. Thanks for taking the time this morning.
No problem.
So last night, tough loss for the Yankees, 8-1 loss at Toronto. Masahiro Tanaka just, you know, it looked like he had it going for a few minutes, and then, you know, he kept giving out. He had the home run ball, got him again. Talk a little bit about this Yankee team. It's been a really good month for them, and they've put themselves in a position. You know, obviously, they're going to obviously be the number one wild card. I think the magic number for that is 3 or 2 or something really low. But they took a shot. Mm-hmm. The loss last night took a shot to the AL East hopes.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, I think it was kind of a long shot anyway, only because they were facing a three-game deficit with 10 games left. And it seemed like they had been three games behind the Red Sox forever. The Red Sox just wouldn't lose. You know, they kept winning extra inning games, and every time the Yankees seemed like they might gain a foothold, the Red Sox held on. So, like you mentioned, they're in a good shape for the wild card right now. They almost certainly will get home field for that. They'll have a chance to clinch today, at least a playoff berth. So, yeah, they're playing really good baseball right now. I mean, their rotation has been, you know, pretty good, aside from Tanaka last night, and their bullpen has been every bit the lockdown relief core that they were hoping it would be. And offensively, you know, a lot of guys are clicking right now.
David, when you look at this team, you know, it's the thing that shocks to me is that they've lost over 20 games and they've blown over 20 saves. We were just talking, waiting for you to call, and we were just talking with Austin, my co-host here, Austin Danforth, that we're talking about that. Are you surprised that this bullpen that's got the names in it has been that unsuccessful throughout the season?
Well, I mean, it was. I think Chapman certainly had a bit of a hangover from last year with the Cubs. He was used frequently and for long stretches of time by Joe Maddon. Obviously, the Cubs had a pretty big mission to accomplish. So I think he was a little worn out. He didn't really admit it when he came over after signing the contract, but it certainly showed early on. But now he's back to the Chapman he's been, you know, that he was last year. His fastball is back up. He's 103, 104 again, and his location is back. So that's a big part of it. I mean, without Chapman at the back end of that bullpen operating as he should be able to, it's a big difference. I mean, I know Girardi likes to talk about having, you know, 3 or 4 potential closers back there, but you take away somebody like Chapman, and there's going to be a trickle-down effect. Betances hasn't looked great lately. And really, the most experienced guy back there and reliable guy lately has been David Robertson, and he's been used anywhere from the fifth inning to the seventh. So it was surprising early on considering the depth that they had. That figured to be a strength. You know, I left out Chad Green, who has been, you know, excellent for them as well in more of a middle relief role. But yeah, that was a surprise early on. But whatever problems they had in the bullpen early, I think have been solved, and I think they're getting right at the right time.
David, there's no question the Yankee future looks really bright when you look at the stars that they have. And I've been saying all year that the Yankees, if you're a Yankee fan this morning, you've got to be really happy with where they're at. This has got to be playing with house money, in my opinion, with where they're at. This could be a 90-win baseball team. They're looking at being at home in the wild card game. And if it wasn't for some unfortunate pitching, they'd be really way up in first place with the way they've lost games. But my question for you is Joe Girardi. What's your take on Joe Girardi? I'll give an example. Last night, you know, looks like Greg Bird is starting to kind of get into his own, and he's out of the lineup again last night. I know that that Gardner got hit by a pitch the night before against Minnesota, or the 2 days before, and he obviously was probably a little bit sore, but do you find that Girardi's mentality of resting these guys all the time has been is a good thing, or is it a problem for them going forward?
No, I mean, I think right now it's not so much the resting as it is playing the guys who he thinks will be the most effective. And the big part of that is Jacoby Ellsbury.
Right.
I mean, Ellsbury has rebounded in a huge way in the past month. He's had a big September, and he's allowed Girardi to be a little bit more flexible there. You know, could he have played Gardner last night? Yeah, he probably could have. But the way Ellsbury has played, he really gave him the flexibility to have what he thought was a guy who could take over in the leadoff spot in Ellsbury and a guy that can play center field. So and make up for that. So I think that during the course of a long season, Girardi's right and to rest these guys. I think he's done a pretty good job of keeping guys fresh for the most part. I mean, Aaron Judge being the lone exception, I really think he pushed Judge too hard. Obviously, he was tempted to use him as much as possible considering the damage he was doing in the first half. But I think you really saw some of that fatigue creep in after the All-Star
right.
break. And I thought Girardi was a little too stubborn in riding him through July and into August when the kid was really struggling. So for the most part, yes, I think he's done a good job. I think Judge has kind of been the only blind spot, and I can kind of forgive him considering the year that kid has had.
I guess my only question would have been last night, if Gardner could have gone to play him in left like he normally would again instead of Clint Frazier, and then at first, but I know Headley's had a really big second half, and you got to give that guy a lot of credit because from what he did in the first half, second half's been great, but you look at a guy like Greg Bird, and to me, Greg Bird is the kind of guy that can carry you for some weeks, and it looks like he's starting to, his timing is back. A big game last night against Toronto against a right-hander in a homer-friendly park. To not have Gardner as your leadoff guy, who's the best leadoff guy, I think, on that team, and let Ellsbury be more lower level where he's more of a first-pitch kind of swinger, and have Greg Bird play first base last night, it just looked like it was like, come on, Joe. Like, they need to win these games.
Yeah, I think when you're talking about Bird, you're talking about a manager that, when you're coming the last week of the season, is going to rely more on some of the veteran players. I know Frazier was playing last night. Clint and left, but with Greg Bird, I just don't think he has the body of work yet, you know, even against a right-handed pitcher. So I think he went with guys he trusted in the case of first base last night. You're going to see Bird back in there. But right now, I just don't think that Bird has the body of work that Girardi is going to push that. I think he went with guys that he felt like he trusted more over there.
So let's fast forward, I guess, maybe through the regular season. Let's give the Yankees the wild card. Just thinking hypothetically, what do you like of their chances to get out of that wild card game? And what do you think their chances are of maybe, you know, getting to the ALCS?
Well, I mean, I certainly like their chances of winning that wild card game. I mean, they have to hope that what Severino did against the Twins on Wednesday was just an aberration. I expect Severino to come out and be every bit the ace he has been if he faces the Twins again in that wild card game, or presuming it will be the Twins. And, you know, the Yankees at home, with the way they've pitched, with the way their bullpen has been, offensive with the way they've been, you know, I really can't see them losing that game. You know, that said, you never know with one game. After that, the division series is going to be tough. I mean, right now it shapes up to be the Indians, and the Yankees will certainly be a pretty big underdog in that. I mean, the Indians have won, what, 26 out of the last 28 games or something? It's kind of been insane. Yeah, so I think they're a pretty hot team right now, and the Indians will be a tough team to stop. Do I give the Yankees kind of a puncher's chance in that series? Yeah, I mean, if they pitch well and if their offense continues, they do have a shot at beating a team like the Indians. But I think as you move forward, and they've certainly been outclassed in their meetings with the Indians this year. You know, we saw the sweep in the Bronx. The Yankees had actually played him pretty well at Progressive Field. So, you know, it's tough to project. Listen, nobody, and I mean nobody, as in zero, projected this team to make the playoffs. So the fact that they're getting in and they have a chance to make it into division series and perhaps make that interesting, I think, like you guys mentioned, is really a huge bonus for this team moving forward.
We're talking to David Lennon of the New York Newsday here on 101.3 ESPN on Sports Saturday. David, you're around Judge a lot. What kind of kid is he?
Great guy. I mean, really, you can't speak highly enough about him, because as good as he's been on the field, he's handled all of this exposure and all of this pressure and all of this media attention extremely well. It's very hard for young players, especially in New York, when they're the focus and the scrutiny of so much media attention there. And he's really taken all of it in stride, everything with a smile, very gracious, always available to talk to. And what he went to, guys, after that huge first half, it's one thing to be able to handle the attention when you're going well. But after that All-Star break, when he really went downhill and was really, really struggling, for him to still be able to face the music every day really showed me a lot. You know, he didn't hide from it. He answered the questions as best he could. And that's not easy. I mean, most guys can't handle it in the fashion that he did. But I just think he has a really good head on his shoulders, and I think that's huge for him. Not only is he talented, but he has the mindset and really kind of the attitude. I think that's going to serve him pretty well moving forward.
David, you have a Hall of Fame vote. What's your take on Pete Rose? Right. You think he'll ever get in?
No. He's not even eligible to be considered for the Hall of Fame. So it's not even, at this point, he's already off the board. And the only way he can get in is on some kind of veterans committee at this point. So it's going to be out of the baseball writers' hands as far as voting him in. I wouldn't anyway, considering the rule that he violated. So, yeah, I think Pete Rose is going to be outside the Hall of Fame for good.
And your take on, like, the steroid era, any of the, like, you know, the Roger Clemens, the Barry Bonds, those athletes, what's your take on those guys?
Yeah, I vote for those guys. I mean, they were, baseball allowed that to happen during that time. They didn't have penalties and suspensions for that. They were very lax in establishing these PED rules. So, to me, you can't just pretend that part of the game didn't exist. I mean, those numbers are in the books. What they did are real, and I just can't ignore that in my viewpoint. And I think those guys will get in. I mean, I think Bonds and Clemens, not this year, maybe next year, but possibly the following year. I think with the way the numbers are rising and the way the mentality is changing towards those players, I think they will be in the Hall of Fame. And who knows, even further down the line, you know, a guy like Alex Rodriguez is suspended for an entire year. But that guy's making a comeback in the court of public opinion like I've never seen in his type of exposure. So I'm not even willing to say never for him. But yeah, Bonds and Clemens, I think for sure, will be in the Hall of Fame.
Hey, I got one question for you. I'm Dave Hunter, Sports Saturday, 101.3 ESPN. Are you rooting for the Yankees and the Red Sox to be in the ALCS? Renew the rivalry.
Rooting?
Well, a rivalry thing.
I don't really have a rooting interest in this. But I root for the drama. I root for the best story. And I certainly would love to see the Yankees and Red Sox in the ALCS. I think that's the best possible matchup for everyone involved. And as a writer in New York, how could you not go for that? That would be the tastiest matchup, I think. So if you're asking for the scenario I'd like to see, I'd like to see the Red Sox and the Yankees in the ALCS.
Yeah. David, we have one question left before I let you go. We only have 1 minute. The best event, the best game you've ever been at in your career covering any New York sports team is what?
Oh. I mean, I've mostly covered baseball, so.
Did I stump you?
The one that comes to mind is the one that just happened last year. I mean, the Cubs winning the World Series. That, it doesn't really get much bigger than that in baseball. I was there for when the Red Sox won it in 04, so that was another huge thing. So I think as far as history and as far as what the accomplishment was, I think last year with the Cubs in 04 with the Red Sox is certainly right up there.
David Lennon, Newsday, thanks so much for the time, buddy. We'll talk to you again down the road.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
All right. Not exactly where I thought he was going to go with that.
No, but if I was at that game, I'd probably say that.
Can you imagine
game.
That?
Cubs winning the World Series,
the moment of that happening for Cub fans, that has got to be unbelievable. I have some family members that are big Cubs fans, and it was like a turning point in their lives.
Oh, yeah.
For the Cubs to win the World Series.
Ultimate catharsis.
And I'll tell you, I still wish that they would bring Bartman out and let him throw. He should have thrown out the first pitch.
Didn't they give him a ring?
I think they gave him a ring, but it would have been very cool first game of the World Series to have him walk on the field, get handed the ball, and throw the first pitch. What a touch that would have
been. I don't think he would have done it even if there were like guns to his head.
No, you're probably right. What a very did you ever see that 30 and 30?
Yeah.
That is a good 30 for 30.
Brutal.
I love those ESPN 30 for 30. Those are good. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, get your fantasy football questions, kids. Get them ready. Because we got Jake Kent coming on really soon. You can send him, listen, text him to 802-655-6672 or call us to get your calls ready. He is going to help you for week 3, and trust me, he'll help you out. Don't go anywhere.
Phone call.
Monica from Williston.
Did you think I could have married Don Hoffman? And would it hurt for you to say that you love me once in a while?
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
That's my wife right there. She wants to go down. It's great. Good morning. Thanks for joining your morning with us on Sports Saturday here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Austin, you've done a great job. I really enjoy our time here together, you and I.
I love it.
I do. It's like calming to me.
Good.
Because when Bernie's in here, it's a straight fight every day. Bernie and I just boom, boom, back
just
and forth.
Sparring.
Just sparring. Verbal spars all day. But for you, it's a very comfortable conversation.
Yeah.
Relax.
That's what I
do. You know, and I love the shirt, and I love that the thing's popped up. I really do love that. You're looking good. Looking sharp. Oh, you look sharp.
Thank
I mean,
you.
It's up. When you're a good-looking guy like you, Austin, I mean, good for you.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on. By the way.
Keep the sunshine coming.
Yeah, hey, brother. Hey, 90 degrees out there. I'm loving it. Hey, listen, I am loving fantasy football this week. I'm 0-2 in one league, 1-1 in the other I'm in, but I had Todd Gurley this week, and he just dropped 36.4 points for me, so I got that going for me. You know, which is nice.
Yeah, thank you.
What's that from? What movie was
Caddyshack,
that from?
Come
thank
on.
You. Okay, I just wanted to make sure you knew that.
Low-hanging fruit.
If Todd Gurley got together with Dexter Manley.
Nobody ever thought anything about that, Dave, except you. All right, let's get right to our phone line here. Jake Kent, our fantasy football guru, our fantasy football expert, is on the TikTok to do his guest line. Do yourself a favor and text your question to 802-655-6672 on the Town Fair Tire text line, or call your question in at 802-655-6672. Let Jake help you. You understand? Jake, good morning, buddy.
Hey guys, good morning.
How was week last week for you? Who was week 2 in fantasy football for you? How was it?
I'm good. I was season long. I was 4-1 last week, so I go to 8-2 on the season, and things are going right along.
I just want to say that I will never start Russell Wilson again in any fantasy football game. I'm done with Russell Wilson. I just want to make that very public.
Yeah, I mean, until they have some type of improvement in, with that offensive line, he's a scary start for sure.
All right, Jake, we'll go right into the questions. Let's go right now. Who are the surprise picks, or who are the guys you need to get off the fantasy wire, the waiver wire right now?
Yeah, if you're looking for a wide receiver this week, I think one guy you can look at is Chris Conley of the Kansas City Chiefs. Alex Smith has reinvented himself this season. The creativity they're using in that offense is great. And they have a great matchup. The Chargers are going to be without their top cornerback, Jason Verrett, again in week 3. Conley available something like 98-99% of leagues probably. He is on the field basically every single snap, like 90%+ of snaps he's on the field. He's going to have opportunity as they look to take away Travis Kelce. Good luck. But Chris Conley should get some looks, and he's available everywhere.
So I got the DeMarco Murray conundrum on my team, Clipboard Jesus. I picked him. He was a high
classic
pick for
name.
Me. I'm regretting it now. It's the trickle down effect from him to my flex to my why. Like, where am I going? Do I leave him on the bench?
Yeah, I mean, I've been off him since he left the Cowboys, and he kind of made me pay for it last year. Made me look a little silly with that, but it's kind of starting to show up more this year. You know, he's not a bad floor guy. You know, against Seattle, I think he's going to be okay if, in fact, he is as healthy as they're saying he is. Derrick Henry certainly coming on hot, kind of scary. You know, if you need 10 or 12 points from the running back position and you're not looking for a lot of upside, I'm okay with you playing him. If you played Gurley on Thursday or something of that nature, or you're projected to lose by an amount that you feel like is too much to overcome, he's not a high upside play. So 10 points, 12 points maybe, but otherwise I'm going to look for upside somewhere else.
All right, Jay, I got a text on the text line here. Cody Rush wrote me, I've got LeGarrette Blount on my in my lineup, do I plug Javarius Allen, or Blount gave me zero against the Chiefs last week?
Yeah, I don't. We talked about this last week, and we said I really don't think people should be playing Blount. I know he did a little bit week one, but I don't want much of him at all, if ever. Definitely Buck Allen, who, again, another guy we talked about last week, I think had 14 or 15 points in standard league scoring. He's the guy in Baltimore for me. Yeah.
Dennis from Georgia asked, Cam Newton or Derek Carr?
Man, you want the answer to be Cam Newton, right? It's New Orleans. That passing offense should be able to really get right, finally. But he's completing less than 50, like right around 50% of his passes since the middle of last year. He's really looked bad, that Cam Newton, that is. So even in a really juicy matchup, I'm probably going to play Carr in the shootout.
And then I got one more. He wrote Hooper or Z Miller, PPR?
Zach Miller, Austin Hooper. So Austin Hooper is a pretty good play in the Atlanta offense. There are a lot of mouths to feed there. Mohamed Sanu has been much better early on than we expected. Taylor Gabriel always hangs around. And obviously they're looking to feed Freeman and Coleman. So Hooper's a tough guy for me. I know he's kind of all the rage in the sleeper tight end world, but I actually really like Zach Miller in the Chicago offense. I started him week one. I played him on DraftKings 2 weeks in a row now. He's going to get some targets. If it's a PPR in particular, Zach Miller. If it's not, I barely give the edge to Zach Miller.
Cody just sent another one here on the Town Fair Tire text line.
He's on it, man.
I think, Cody, I can answer this one. Do I keep Paul Perkins on my bench? The answer is yes. On your bench, on the end of the bench, in a van, down by the river, anywhere else but on your fantasy
you
football
sure?
team. I would say. I mean, am I wrong, Jake, about that?
I mean, it depends on what's available out there. I would rather, I mean, if you have a good team, if you're 2-0, if you're going towards 3-0, I'd probably get somebody with some more upside.
Yeah,
like,
if you're cocky.
Honestly, this will sound crazy, but I would rather take Josh Gordon, who might get reinstated here in another 2 weeks,
yeah,
and hope that he gets reinstated, than keep a guy who I'm never going to end up using, really.
Yeah, that's a good question. Another good. Cody, great. Thanks for the text. So, again, if you guys want to text your questions, 802-655-6672. It's the Town Fair Tire text line here on 101.3 ESPN. All right, Jake, listen, quarterback position's never been your thing. You've always said, you know, draft quarterbacks late, but who right now to you are the best quarterbacks out there for fantasy?
Yeah, I mean, they're making me look good this year. The late-round quarterback movement is making everybody look smart this year. Alex Smith is the number one over scoring quarterback. DeShone Kizer looked great. A lot of guys who did not get drafted. I drafted Phillip Rivers, looked great last week. We started Carson Palmer, Sam Bradford. I mean, all guys who were, you know, 12th, 13th, 14th round picks have really been they've really been great so far this year. So in terms of scoring this week, I mean, some of your big names are back at the top with really friendly matchups. I mean, Rodgers and Breeze really should be very good this week. Carr against Washington. But if you're looking for a lesser-known guy who you can start, I think DeShone Kizer is probably that guy against just a putrid Indiana team. They are just so bad that everybody has a pretty high floor. And because of his running ability, Kizer's probably the guy that's out there and available you can go get. If you have Matt Stafford this week, I love him against Atlanta. I know Atlanta can be tough, but Detroit's home. Matt Stafford's playing as good as anybody, so he's a guy I really like. And again, Phillip Rivers, I mentioned. Kansas City, tough defense, but that game could really very likely turn into a bit of a shootout. And I think both those quarterbacks, Alex Smith and Phillip Rivers, show up again this week.
Jake, we'll throw two more quarterback names out there. I got Matt Ryan. I got Carson Wentz. Wentz has outperformed Ryan so far, but I've had Ryan starting both games. Where do you go with Atlanta playing Detroit and the Eagles playing the Giants?
Yeah, great question for this week. I would lean Matt Ryan, but not by as much as you might imagine. I have Ryan as a top five play this week, around 21 points or so. I have Wentz kind of in that next group. I would say that Wentz has been very good. They don't have a running game at all, sort of all of the Giants, actually, as a matter of fact. So if the Giants' D-line can get home pretty quickly, it could cause some problems for them. He's okay under pressure, but I think I'll avoid it altogether and just go Matt Ryan. The Detroit-Atlanta game, I know some people are kind of talking about it as a high-scoring game. I think it could be even higher than what they're projecting. So I would go Matt Ryan.
Thank you for the confidence boost there.
Jake, I got another one on the text line here. Will Brandon Marshall ever be a serviceable receiver again?
Doesn't look like it, Jeff. Oh, I was texting God. You during the game. I mean, have
I
you seen anybody look less interested while running routes?
I know.
He just looks dreadful. I mean, the first couple games, they didn't really even target him. They tried to get him involved this week. You know, he's kind of like flinging his arm out there, kind of half reaching for passes. He looks like he's jogging out of some of his cuts. I don't know what's going on with
him. What is wrong with my Giants? Honestly, what is wrong with these people? I can't understand it. I'm so annoyed, disappointed. It's going to be a long winter. I hate winter anyway. And now I got to deal with the Giants being terrible. Thank God it's going to be 90 this weekend.
The play calling just
oh, my God. Was it not embarrassing?
I after two consecutive third and twos where they ran the ball for a loss.
Exactly. between communicating with you and Bernie during that, I should have kept all those text messages because I'm telling you, it's embarrassing. Hey, Eric and Barry, Nelson Aguilar, I don't know how to say it.
Aguilar,
excuse me, or A.J. Green, non-PPR.
Oh, man. So this is it, right? This is supposed to be A.J. Green get right week. This is the week that they have a new offensive coordinator. They're going to remember how to play football. A.J. Green gets a relatively soft Packers offense, even though they're in Lambeau. I don't know, man. I am not real high on A.J. Green this week. If you watched any of that Bengals game, they look horrible. I mean, they don't look like they know what they're doing at all. And I don't know that just changing an offensive coordinator.
Wait a minute. Are they Giants horrible? Or are they?
Offensively, they're pretty close.
Wow.
I mean,
pretty bad.
I saw throws that, I mean, I thought he was throwing the ball. You would think he was throwing the ball clearly out of bounds to a water boy on like first and 10. I mean, ball's just out of bounds, nowhere near the target. So it was ugly. So in theory, this is get right week, right? And you're probably going to suck it up and play AJ Green one more time. If I have anything else at all, I'm probably doing it. I'm probably starting someone else.
All right, Jake.
I just don't trust him yet.
We got 30 seconds left. Everyone, give everybody how they get a hold of you, watch you, get your information.
Yeah, ask me on questions on Twitter anytime, at JakeKentVT. I'm generally around on Twitter, so I'll get to you if I can. And at JakeKentVT, or ask you, Jeff, and you can relay the question.
Absolutely. Jake Kent, you're the man, my brother. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take it easy. Thanks so much.
He knows his stuff. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing guys like this that know? I mean, you can ask him any question, he knows immediately. I don't think I know anything that well. I mean it. I don't think there's one thing you could say to me that I would be that quick with an answer. That tells you about me.
Well, you know what goes in your pizzas, right?
I do. I do know that. Right, there you go. I know that, I guess.
Okay.
Right. Thank you, Austin. I appreciate it. We'll be right back. We're going to put a bow on this show. We'll be right back.
Professional athletes, but we sure do know how to talk about them. This is 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley.
You know the way you guys do about my head, whatever, you know? And so...
What about you?
It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Can you believe that 2 hours is gone, Austin?
Where'd they go?
I mean, 2 hours is just flown right by here.
This is great.
Yeah, well, thanks for filling in, my man. I really
appreciate
it.
Happy to help.
I have to say, honestly, like, you know, we always have great co-hosts that come in and help us out, but you do a really good job. I can see why you're so highly regarded in your profession. You know?
How about, like, some of the vocabulary
not
words?
You. I'm not talking about you.
Conundrum and catharsis.
Catharsis. Jeez, you know, you gotta stop doing that.
Yeah.
You guys like you start throwing writer. Words like that at me, then I start getting confused. I start to sweat. And when I sweat, it gets into my, you know, I don't have any hair to protect that.
You're doing okay right now, though.
Oh, I'm good. I'm very dry. Yeah, very good.
Shiny.
I'm doing good. Oh, that's good. I shaved it this morning. Got some, you know.
It is.
Got the lotion
it's
on
glowing
it.
Glowing green.
Oh, yeah, it's nice. It's not green. Knock it off, green.
Glowing.
That's what's nice about weather like this. I can keep the thing tan.
Yeah.
That's the key. When you get the nice weather, you keep the dome tan.
Right.
It's important.
Right.
Because during my soccer season, because it's so hot out there, I usually have a hat on, so I look like an eraser. I take it off. It's like a number two pencil. That's not good. Hey, we want to give a quick thanks out to Randy Santel, professional eater. What an interesting conversation that was, right?
That was awesome.
I mean, I know you probably don't think in your mind that it'd be fun to talk about, like, eating a lot of food or being a professional eater, but man, go to his website, go to Facebook, go to Twitter, whatever it is, go to Randy, Google Randy Santel and watch some of these videos.
I wanted to like to point out I had to press the dump profanity button on him for the second
cuss.
Time he dropped the S-bomb.
He's been on the show
if
a couple
you
times.
You want to hear it for yourself,
his tip
we'll
about
it on the
standing
website.
Up or kneeling, extending the
exactly.
abdomen, the torso.
So that, and that's interesting.
That makes a lot of sense.
And especially for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
You know, because I know at Thanksgiving time I sit down with this big plate of food and I eat most of it and I'm like, oh man, I'm so stuffed now, but I didn't eat all day because I want to eat this meal. Then I disappoint myself.
And
I let myself
sitting
down.
Sitting there, like right above your belt buckle.
Maybe now I'll kneel. I can just stand, and everything will just go down to my toes or something.
Serve
that'll be good.
Thanksgiving dinner at the counter.
That's a great idea. See, we're learning something here on Sports Saturday. Want to give a quick shout out to David Lennon of New York Newsday. First of all, he's an award-winning writer, wrote a great book about the rivalries in New York City, but gave us pretty good insight on the Yankees. And I think if you're a Yankee fan listening to him, you got to feel pretty good about what he said. The American League East is probably a long shot. They've got a great shot, obviously, to win that AL wild card game, and then, you know, see what happens from there. We had a chat with him. And then Jake Kent, thanks a lot, obviously, for sending in your text message to Jake, getting your fantasy football team ready. Hey, we're Sports Saturday. We're here every Saturday on 101.3 ESPN from 10 to noon. I'm Jeff, Austin Danforth. Thanks for filling in for Bernie and Dave Hunter. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the weather.
We are Sports WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh, 101.3 ESPN.